Columbia Workshop presents number 9 of 26 by Corwin.
Old Salt, a sort of storm-swept saga of the sea. Written and directed by Norman Corwin, starring Everett Sloan, late of the Broadway hit Native Son, and one of the newest and most brilliant musical comedy sensations, June Happoch, together with Charles Althoff and his crack fiddle, Larry Robinson, and an original Song of Temptation composed by Lynn Murray.
Why is your father always late like this?
Give him time. It's a hot night.
We'll be late for the picture, that's all.
You can leave me alone till Grant comes. I ain't afraid.
No, Billy. Now finish your milk.
Talked to him on the phone this afternoon. Says he's not feeling well.
Well, what's the matter with him?
Stomach kicking up again.
Too much whiskey, that's all that's wrong with him.
Oh, a little nip or two doesn't hurt. After all, he...
Nip or two? He nearly killed a whole bottle of scotch the last time he minded Billy.
Oh, could have been the cleaning woman, you know.
That's right. Blame it on the cleaning woman. Did you replace the scotch?
Yeah.
Did you hide it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gramp won't find it. He has a great sense of direction when it comes to smelling out spirits, you know.
I hid it behind the bread box in the pantry. You'll never think of looking there.
No, I don't know about that. He thought of lots of places before.
No, he hasn't.
Nobody asked you, William.
No, sir.
And don't you tell Gramp the bottle is behind the bread box, Billy.
No, Mother.
Oh, I bet the picture started already.
So we'll miss all the titles. Great tragedy.
Oh, but I hate to come in late, especially when Charles Lawton's playing.
Charles Lawton is funny looking.
He plays a villain, and by now, if Gramp was on time, I could be hating him already.
More coffee.
Charlie Chaplin's coming to...
If Gramp was on time, I could be hating him already.
More coffee.
Charlie Chaplin's coming to the Dream Saturday.
Grant must be walking here.
What? With that wooden leg of his? Now, don't be silly.
How did Grant get his wooden leg?
Auto accident 2 years ago. He's been drinking, I have no doubt.
Now, wait a minute, Elise. That's a fine thing to tell the boy.
Well, sure it is. I want him to remember it when he grows up. Billy, that's what happens when you do...
There he is! There's Grant! I'm coming, Grant!
Come on, dear. You ready? We can take care of the dishes later.
All right.
Hello, Graham.
Hello, Graham.
Come on, we got here. Hey, know what kept me late, mate? Who do I bump into right on the corner of the avenue but old Captain Splane? Him what I saved from the sharks when we was adrifting on the raft west of the New Hebrides.
Sorry, but we haven't got time to hear it, Graham. We're late already. Come on. And,
yes.
Graham, see that Billy gets to bed no later than 9, and don't get him excited with any drifting stories
now. All right. Have a good time. Hear that? No stories.
Mom didn't say anything about the radio, though.
What's on the radio?
The Purple Mask.
Yeah. What's that?
Well, this man, he's got a purple mask on so nobody can tell who he is, but he's really Foster Cartwright, and he's after the Black Devil.
Black Devil? Who's he?
He's a dirty guy. He kidnapped Marjorie in a bombing plane and flew her to a secret temple in a jungle.
Now, what kind of bilge do you call that?
Bilge?
Why? Ain't a dram of truth in none of it. No fit kind of jigger-rigging to be given a lad.
Why, Grant?
Because none of them mush-legged, land-loving liars who spin them yarns ever been nowhere. Now, you take me, Billy. When I tell a tale, you may wager it's a right true tale. True as a haddock. True as me name's Jeremiah Bascom. Because I've been there.
Will you tell me some stories now, Grant?
I seen it happen. I can swear on a stack of Bibles high as the top mantel. You believe me, don't you, Billy?
Oh, yes, sir.
Secret temple. Rot. Dry rot. Bunkum, that's what, me bucko. Mere fabrication, exaggeration, and trivia.
Would you tell me a story now, Gramp? Just a little one.
Well, let me see now. Did I ever tell you about the time I got the wind to blow and the Madeleine Philpott was becalmed in the Sargassy?
No, Grant, you didn't.
Well, first I'll just get me a little nerve tonic before I set sail, Billy. Let's see now. Where does your father keep that stuff? A lot of vinegar and witch hazel and mouthwash, but no nerve tonic. That's a fine thing. Man's nerves might snap off any minute these days. I'll have to keep that stuff handy with bandages and iodine. Well, anyway, I was the second mate on the Nancy Philpott, and we was in the middle of the... Wait a minute. Do you know where your daddy keeps that hair tonic?
Hair tonic?
Oh, nerve tonic.
No, sir.
Well, well, let's see. Now, I was the first mate on the Dorothy Philpott, and we was becalmed in the doldrums northwest of the equator, see? Why, it makes me sore to think of it even now. Blast my keel if there was as much as a half pint of a puff of wind for 7.5 whole months. All of which time, we was in the same spot, Billy, without drifting far as from here to that door, on account of the sea was still as water setting in a glass. You sure you ain't seen nobody take no bottles out of that covered land?
No, Gramp, but I think...
Well, anyway, the water was so still, I seen the same piece of seaweed floating on the same spot for 6 months, till I couldn't stand no more of it, and I dives in after it and eats it.
You waited?
Oh, I shiver my timbers, lad. That weren't all we ate. That were dessert. You see, after our food run out, we had to find new things to eat, most of which no man ever ate before or since. All the crew starved but four. Me, the captain, the cook, and the second mate. And then one day, the captain, he comes over.
Aye, sir. What happened to the cook?
We ate him for lunch.
Why, you scurvy sons of pies and jellyfish. Now who's going to cook for us?
We should have thought of that, matey.
I should say you should have. Why didn't you invite me to lunch if you was eating the cook?
Well, you were sleeping, Captain, and we didn't want to wake you up.
I put you both in chains with swabs and we hadn't ate the chains last Friday.
Sorry, Captain.
We'll wake you up the next time we eat one of the crew.
Next time? There's only three of us left. Just what do you mean by we?
We're not mentioning any names, Skipper.
We don't want this to get personal, sir.
I see. Well, me buckos, when you wet that barrel of gunpowder last week, you forgot that I had a horn full under me cot. And this blunderbuss is loaded with it. I'm fed up with the scuppers of you varlets hogging all the victuals. If you don't find me something to eat by tonight, I'm going to finish both of you. Understand?
But where are we going to find something for you?
That's your worry. I'm captain of this ship. You get paid for taking orders.
But we don't get paid.
The principle's just the same.
Principle ain't enough, sir. You can't eat principle.
That's all we got left.
Well, then there ain't no more hope.
If only a wind came up, there would be.
There ain't no more wind. All the wind's gone out of the earth.
Say, I got a great idea.
It better be great.
What is it, Bascom?
Mind over matter.
Is that all?
Ever hear of mind over matter?
I heard a minister in Nantucket mention it one time.
You mean we should pray?
Pray? Oh, no, I'm beyond that. I'm a sinner now, a wicked sinner. I'll never see the inside of heaven, I won't.
Now listen, Captain, my idea...
A wicked, wicked sinner, beyond salvation. Mates, I guess maybe I've brought this hard luck on the ship. I shouldn't have asked the chaplain for one thing.
That's all right, Skipper. We know how you feel. We all let him.
But you ain't heard my idea yet.
Here, take my blunderbuss, boys. I'm through with it.
Never mind the blunderbuss, Skipper. You listen to me. I got an idea to make the wind blow.
There's enough powder in this gun to... What did you say, Bascom?
I says I got an idea to make the wind blow.
It's reached him at last. Cuckoo, just like the galley boy off his nose.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who's the god of the sea? Answer me that.
Neptune, of course.
All right. Now, Delaney, may his soul rest in peace. He made a good meal. Mm. Delaney was a fine specimen of heathen man. And he invoked aloud to Neptune for 6 days and nights, mumbling and making burnt offerings of tobacco all over the ship. And what happened?
Nothing.
Exactly, nothing. And Delaney went the way of all flesh.
Correct.
Now, what I propose to do is to get Neptune sore.
Get him sore? How?
How? Simple. Insult him to his face.
What good will that do?
It'll rouse his wrath.
So
get sore and blow up a tempest, and we'll get out of the doldrums.
Well, all right, don't make much sense, but if you want to try it, try it.
Try anything once, that's what I always say.
All right, then, now you excuse me while I go and stand in the prow.
Can we come along, too, and listen?
Why, sure, the more the merrier. Come along, you're going to hear me talk to Neptune like he was never talked to before. All right, now, you just let me be by myself. Neptune, you scurvy dog of a son of a sea cook. What kind of an ocean are you running? You fat-headed old coot with them sore whiskers and that fool pitchfork of yarn?
That's wrong talk.
Why, you hypocritical, slubber-de-gurgian droogle. May you swallow a live billy goat with all his horns sticking in the gizzard and get the black collie. Why, if you was my size, I'd give you such a belay and you'd creep into a mess of seaweed and never come up.
That's the way to give it to him.
And if I was your size, curse his part of you, Neptune, I'd smack you down with a double-braided water spout. Do you hear me, you ninny-headed, overgrown slang off?
Look, there's a cloud coming up up there. It's working. It's working. Keep it up.
You hear me, you pusillanimous pantaloon? Why, I'd be ashamed to let a pocket-fied ocean set still like a cup of tea in a coffee shop while poor old sailors like us break our backs to earn an honest living.
And that goes for me, too.
Fast, matey. There's a big black thunderhead coming on fast.
Keep going, Bascom. You're stirring up the firmament like Joshua when he hit the lion.
Go on, I dare you, you muscle-bound, black-hearted limp-hearted. You besotted gum flasher. You licorice, gluttonous, sweet smeller. I dare you to strike him down.
Hey, hey, take it easy, Bascom. Tell him you was only kidding.
I dare you to strike the good ship Emily Philpott. I double dare you. I triple dare you, you jagged bearded wonder.
Oh, no need to get personal.
The wind breaks the sea, Captain. We're moving. She's booming in a shroud.
Right away to larboard. Take the hatches to the captain forward and masthead the yard. Fasten the port frontlin' and blow the garnet.
Why, Neptune, you minified, platonic, grubbly, graveling, dumpified, besmudgerous, in front of ladies.
Enough, enough, Bascom. Wang your steerage, mate. Nip the pooper. Plug the key block. Slam the buttocks across the combat mostly. Snug her down.
Yeah, that's how I raise the wind in the doldrums, Billy.
Gee, Grant, did the wind blow hard?
Blow hard? Why, son, it blew so hard it lifted the Eleonora Philpott's clean out of the water. Not just once, but six times. And in them spells when she was flying, she made about 220 knots. Reached port in time for breakfast the next morning.
But why didn't Neptune sink you when he got mad?
Scared to.
Scared?
Scared of me. If he ever drowned me, then he'd have me right in his own bailiwick and dealing with me personal, face to face. Most he ever done was try to plague me so as I'd stick to land and wouldn't bring shame on him like I done that day in the White Sea.
Did you ever sail the Black Sea, Grant?
Oh, sure did. Sailed the black, white, red, yellow, and deep blue sea.
Is the Red Sea really red?
Why, as red as a red herring clear down at the bottom. I was captain of the frigate Jinrikey, and we was doing a little tracking down of pirates when I first sailed the sea. Now, the Jinrikey was... by the way, did you see your father bring home anything in the shape of a bottle last week?
No, Grant.
Hmm. That's strange. I wonder where he could put it. I better have a look in the china closet.
Gramps.
What?
Wouldn't you like to eat some bread?
Bread? Nonsense. I never touch the stuff.
I'm so hungry. I'd love to eat some bread.
Why, son, you just had your dinner. What's wrong with you?
Sometimes I just get a craving for bread, Gramps. That's the only way I can explain it. I'd give anything for some bread.
Well, get yourself some. You know where the stuff is.
I'm afraid to go in the pantry.
What? A big boy like you, grandson of Jeremiah Bascom, afraid to go into the pantry? Why, I'm ashamed of you. Why are you afraid to go into the pantry?
Well, because I...
Afraid there's ghosts and spirits there?
I know there's spirits there, Gramps.
Why? Never heard such a clear case of claptrap in my life. Now, you come with me, son, and I'll show you there ain't no spirits there. Now, you come right along with me, Bucko. Come on, I'm going to show you. Now, see? Nothing here but cups and saucers, like any pantry. Satisfied?
Yes, sir.
And here's your bread box, with no ghost inside, only some sliced bread. There you are.
Gee, thanks. I wonder if any bread could have slipped down behind the bread box.
Son, are you feeling well?
Well, sometimes the bread slips down behind the bread box, and the mice get it. I'm afraid of mice.
You're afraid of mice? Now, Billy, let me show you. I'll move the bread box out, and you see if... Well, well, well. A fine bottle of my favorite medicine. What do you know about that? Hey, now. Oh, so that's what you were up to, you rapscallion. A fine lad, a fine lad. Well, I don't suppose your dad would mind if I nipped me a little nip of nerve medicine, would he now?
No, sir. But I think Mother would.
Oh, you do, huh? What makes you think that, son?
Well, Mother says you take too many nips, Gramps.
Oh, she does, does she?
Yes, sir.
And what else does she say?
She says you tell lies, sir. She says you never were a sailor at sea.
Go on, Billy. What else?
She says you was only an assistant on a garbage scow. And that's as far as the sea as you ever got.
She said that? Do you, you believe her, Billy?
Of course, I don't believe her. I believe you. Mother sometimes says funny things like that because, well, she gets mad at Father sometimes.
Oh, then you do believe me, huh, Lance?
Oh, yes, sir, Gramps.
Well, then, good, good.
Will you tell me some more stories, Gramps?
Why, sure, I certainly will. Now, you just let me lower a spot of medicine down the hatch first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, did I ever tell you about the
you
time I saved...
You were talking about the gin
ricky. Well, that's the very ship I saved, lad, the very ship.
You saved it from the pirates?
Oh, no, I saved it from the sirens.
Sirens?
Sirens.
You mean like sirens and fire engines?
No. They were lady sirens. They call themselves the slickest sirens of the seven seas.
Gosh.
You see, Billy, in the Straits of the Phosphorus, between Turkestan and the Euphrates, there's an island called the Island of the Siren's Web. There's big rocks and coral reefs all around the island, and so many wrecks of ships, you'd have a hard time to see the beach.
Well, why were there so many wrecks?
Well, them siren gals, they'd sing to the sailors with megaphones across the water, which was very narrow in them straits, of course, and the sailors would naturally steer to get closer to the sirens, and so they'd get wrecked.
But why did the sirens want to wreck the ship?
Well, because then they could get all the gold and jewelry washed up on the beach and go to town on Saturday night and buy fur coats and dress up swell and have a fine time. It was sort of a racket with them, Billy.
What's a racket?
Oh, shady kind of business, son. No good. Don't you ever get caught up in none. Honesty is the best policy, Billy. It don't pay to tell no lies, even white ones.
Yes, sir.
Well, anyway, I did tell about this Isle of the Siren's Web, but I never believed it. I figured it was just mythology. And then one day...
Isle of Siren's Web, ahoy, sir.
You don't say. Silliest name name I ever heard for any place anywhere.
They say there's real live sirens living on them islands, Captain.
Next thing they'll be telling you, a seahorse won the Derby.
52 holes on the spiked coral reefs to starboard, sir.
What's that? Let me see. Where?
Right there to leeward.
Well, blow me down, mate. Something dirty's afoot here. Looks mighty suspicious, like.
Blood and thunder, skipper. See all them skeletons on the beach?
Yeah, don't seem like a healthy place, does it? Well, bad navigation's to blame for them wrecks, that's all. We're getting pretty close now, and I don't hear no sirens. Do you, my lad?
What you talking about? Sirens.
You just keep straight on your course, and all'll be well, me bucko.
Aye, aye, sir.
I still think that yarn's a lot of nonsense. Why, that story about the sirens is... You at the wheel. Where are you heading?
To shore, to shore. Gotta get close to that music. It's tantalizing.
Them women.
It's driving me crazy.
Here, stop this nonsense. Port helm there. Lay that helm to larboard, not starboard. You're running us up on the reef.
Quiet, boys.
Come in out of the sun and bring along the crew. We'll have a lot of fun here. Don't that appeal to you?
Sure does.
Come on over, pal, and meet us, gal. Come on over, please. We're the smoothest sirens in the seven seas.
Oh, we got to get out.
That's going over,
and
huh?
For me.
Don't pay no attention, old man Ben.
It ain't polite to refuse the lady's invitation.
Just look to the aisle, Bucky. I'm giving orders here. Out there, you sons of Satan. Keep away from them reeds.
Yeah, we're going out.
Stop your ears up, me hearties. You're being lured to shore, Dad. Don't let them play you for suckers, ladies.
Well, how about it, Toots? I'm talking to you, Skipper.
Don't you call me Toots, young lady.
Listen, Paul, Sergeant Captivating. Why don't you take your foot off the brake and hurry over?
Because I'm a man of willpower, I think.
Come on, Gilder. Ain't you sick of pitching it out? Wouldn't you like to
take
some orders for a thing?
Look, now, I'm a married man and a grandfather, and don't you go talking that away to me and seducing me into temptation.
Come on over, Sue, and bring the crew. Don't be a droopy
doopy
all your life.
No! Sail on, boys! Sail on and on!
Hey, crew! Are you
going to
stand for that?
No, 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 no. Throw the captain overboard, go ashore. How about it, me hearties?
Good idea.
We're tired of you.
Over the side with him, boys. We want music. Now, wait a minute. If it's music you want, I'll give you music.
Yeah.
I'll play you the fiddle, boys. That's better music than them sirens can make.
Ain't you sick of the wind and waves?
I'll get my fiddle out while the boys are listening to them wicked gals. It's a good thing I got a powerful lot of willpower.
Just give goodbye to all that and come over and be my slave.
So what about it, soul? We won't take no. Come on over here under the trees. Cause we're the niftiest, swiftiest, siren in the seven seas.
Well,
let's go.
It's Beecher.
Thief to me, brave Bucko.
Oh, listen, boys, listen. I'm going to play for you. Here's real music.
Never mind that stuff. We want the siren.
Hey, finish him off.
Who do you think you are, rock man enough?
Grab him, gang. Hold on. Give him a chance, mate. Good for a laugh, anyways.
I'll make it snappy, Skipper. It'll have to be good.
Right, now, just wait till I get my pitch pipe. I got to tune her up. I'm all right. Now, I'm going to play you Home Sweet Home. Yes, that's what you should be thinking of. Home Sweet Home, not them vixen sirens.
Beautiful, all right.
Ah, thank you.
Makes me feel like crying.
Oh, now take it easy, boys. Just pull yourselves together.
But listen to them gals!
That's for me. Let's go ashore.
We was crazy to listen to the old man.
Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Here's another song. Silver Threads Among the Golden.
We don't want to hear no more from you, Paderewski. It's them sirens for us.
Mateys! I'll play it with feeling and pizzicata. It's been done with feeling before, but never with pizzicata. Listen, mateys. That's a pizzicata.
What's the matter, Captain?
I guess the excitement's kind of got there. Never been pitted against no sirens before like this. I'll begin again.
That was stirring, Skipper.
Makes me think of my dear old mother.
It's as tender as a fresh young mackerel.
You was right, Captain.
The cap saved us from sure disaster and doom.
Let's give him 3,000 cheers. He saved us with his fiddle.
Hooray!
Hey, thank you, lads. Thank you. I tell you what I'll do, you swabs. As a token of the way I feel about your loyalty, I'm going to play you Blow the Man Down.
Gee, Gramps, you were a real hero, all right. Holy smoke.
Oh, it was nothing at all. You know, some people don't believe that story on account of they don't realize what a fine fiddle player I am.
Will you tell me another story, Grant?
Oh, now, hold on now. You got to get to bed pretty soon.
Just one more.
No. Next time, Billy. Next time I'll tell you how I come to lose my leg when I was on the good ship Luella Grant. Has to do with a couple of electric eels short-circuiting and a camouflaged whale.
You. You'll like to hear that story.
Of course, your mother wouldn't believe me none, because women don't understand the sea much, do they, son?
No, sir. But I do. I certainly believe every word.
Good, good. Now for another nip of this here cough medicine from the parched throat. You know, seems to me this glass gets smaller every time I drink from it.
Gramps?
Yes, Billy?
Did I ever tell you about the time I killed 23 pirates and 2 dragons with my baseball bat?
You've been listening to Everett Sloan, June Havoc, and Larry Robinson in Old Salt, a new play for radio written and produced by Norman Corwin as number 9 in the Columbia Workshop cycle 26 by Corwin. Comedy violin was by Charlie Althoff. The siren song was especially composed for this production by Lynn Murray and sung by June Havoc, assisted by the Symphonette. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.